to Virtually Analog, where we explore Board Game Arena and the ever-blurring line between board and video games. I'm your co-host, Lex.
And I'm your other co-host, Shay.
And today we'll be covering a game that you can play on Board Game Arena called Oasis New Hope. In a post-apocalyptic world, go on a quest for the Oasis, the last source of fresh water in a 1,000-mile radius. To reach your goal, you have to draw, steal, or fetch travel cards and play them in front of you in descending order from your starting city, Kala number 13, to the Oasis number 0. Beware, traveler, you're not the only one looking for this Eden. Be efficient and mindful to keep others in check and control the game. You can increase your chances of finding the Oasis first by recruiting powerful companions and getting essential equipment. Being the first traveler to reach the Oasis number 0 is the key to winning this game.
Oasis New Hope was designed by Monsieur V, with art by Samir Gassab, and published by Astro Editions in the summer of 2023. It was developed by Fyrgon for Board Game Arena, and plays at 2 to 4 players at about 15 minutes, with a complexity rating of 2 out of 5 on Board Game Arena.
The mechanics listed on Board Game Geek have hand management and race. I think that sounds about right. You have a hand of cards that you're managing and choosing to play what cards win. And it's a very interesting. Usually when you think of the race mechanism in board games, it's something like, you know, heat or downforce, where you have cars and they are racing down a track, or you have a track that you're racing, you know, other people through. But this is a race in a different style, I guess, where you're racing to play out your cards in descending order all the way to zero first. So yeah, I think that description did a really good job of, I think that's why we pulled it from Board Game Geek, is it kind of like the premise of the game is super simple. You know,
it's, yeah, like, yeah,
you have a hand of cards and you can either draw random from the deck or play these companions. There's not a whole lot to talk about in terms of like rules and the premise of the game. And like, that's actually a perfect segue into like my top favorite things for my number three is like, I think that going into this game, I was not expecting to be very like, impressed. Just like I thought the theme looked cool, but I'm kind of wary of like card games on Board Game Arena. A lot of them tend to be really dry and kind of dull. But the gameplay of this one like outshines its mechanisms in like a really baffling way. By the time we finished our first game, I'm like, oh man, that was actually a lot of fun. I wasn't expecting it to be bad, but I ended up liking it a lot more than I thought I would. And I think it just has to do with like, it's not just about playing cards as you get them. Like a lot of times in these kind of card games, like, Sea Salt and Paper? Is that the other one that we're playing right now?
Yeah.
I have a very controversial opinion on that game, but one of my big problems with it is like, it's just like there's not really any choices as far as like, you just take the best card that you can and you hope you, if you don't have a good card to take, then you just hope you draw a good one, right? Like,
yeah,
there's not like a whole lot of decision making, where I feel like in this game you're always kind of thinking about, you know, Do I take the for sure thing by taking one of these cards, or do I draw two from the deck, or do I play my companion now, or do I save it for later, or do I buy, there's like equipment that you can buy by discarding cards. There's like a whole lot of like, I find this game way more compelling than it has any right being. So yeah, that's what's your number three, your top three thing, favorite thing, Shay?
I like that this game has really simple mechanics, and I like that the companions have like very interesting influence on those mechanics.
Yeah, I think simple is a really good, like, that's usually my problems with like card games on Board Game Arena, is that they tend to be on the simpler side, and I like more complicated games usually. I think simple is a really good way to put it, though. Like, it's one of those classic, like, easy to learn, difficult to master type things, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, the companions are definitely, if the game didn't have the companions, I definitely would not have liked it as much. Otherwise, it's just like, oh, who can draw descending order cards faster? You know, like,
I think what I like about the companions is that it expands the action economy of your turn in a way that is not, like, a fair way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where, like, there's not a way that you're going to get pounded into the dust by somebody playing a companion on their turn. But it does expand your turn to be a little bit more meaningful, you know, when you have those extra actions.
So my number two top favorite things about this game is the comeback mechanisms in it. Usually in card games, once again, like Sea Salt Paper or like any of the other kind of these kind of card games, like once you start falling behind, it's really, really hard to even have a glimmer of hope of catching up. You need to get really lucky with the draw of the cards.
Yeah.
You need to believe in the heart of the cards. But I feel like in this one, maybe it wasn't our last game. Maybe you're right about our last game being like, I think I was ahead for most of it. But in the first game we played, it was just like neck and neck. And every time like one of us would kind of pull ahead, it was just like, because you can play as many travel cards as you want in your turn, you never know when, like, you know, I could have my number nine down and you have all the way up to your two down. And if I just like have the perfect turn, I could play out all of the rest of my cards and find zero, you know.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, because like that's the big thing is like usually in these games you can only play like one card or two cards at a time. This lets you play as many cards from your hand, as many travel cards I should say. If you want to play one of the other cards, you can only do one at a time. But so I think that's really, really cool. That's I like that a lot. But
yeah.
What's your number two, Shay?
The location cards are cool, and this kind of, you know, goes for the whole game. The art, I think, is really reminiscent of a lot of like kind of dystopian fantasy, or not fantasy, dystopian sci-fi kind of influences, but still like uniquely its own, you know what I mean? And I think it shines through in a big way with the companions. And I think the location cards the location artwork on the travel cards is very, very cool. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, some of the symbols on the travel cards also add to your action economy as well. I want to say.
Yeah, I never, like, that part of the game kind of tripped me up a little bit. Because there's some travel cards that are just like, they have the number in a white circle.
Play
it and that's it.
Okay, so some of the locations, for like the travel cards, have optional actions on them. And if you take that action, you have to stop laying the travel cards.
Right. Okay. That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But that's really, I like that. Like there is, you know, like you said, there's always a way to like come back in the game. You know what I mean?
You can forego that action bone, correct, that like surge that action, but to kind of catch up.
Yeah,
I think that's really cool. And unlike other games, man, I just keep comparing this to but if you discard cards, or if cards, like if people don't want certain cards, they go into what I believe is called the recycle pile, it's called the ruins. And you take a recycle action to just take a card from the ruins into your hand. And it's only, you can only do that with one card, unless you have a companion that lets you do it multiple times. So a lot of times the cards that you need, it's not just about fishing them out of the deck. A lot of times it's waiting for your opponent to discard it into the ruins and then like snatching it up.
Yeah.
But no, I completely agree about like the art on the location cards. Like the, those could easily have been just like, this whole game could have just easily been like themeless, right? Like,
yeah,
a theme just kind of, or just like a theme kind of slapped on. And yeah. I don't know why, but I just feel like you actually feel like you're traveling in this post-apocalyptic world as you're playing these cards.
Yeah.
Like the only thing you really care about them is the number. And usually in games like this, I completely ignore the theme.
Yeah.
But the art is such a prominent part of the card. And like the numbers and like the symbols are just like tiny in the corner. So you're really kind of forced to look at the art before you look at like what the card does.
Yeah.
And the art is just fantastic. It's so good.
Yeah.
And yeah, that, I mean, that's yet another perfect segue. This is why I swapped my number one and my number two. I think my number one favorite thing about this game is like just this Mad Max sci-fi theme feels just way more immersive than it has any right being. Like I said, it should just be a numbered card game. Like you could probably figure out a way to play this with a deck of cards if you really wanted to. But that, it wouldn't be nearly as fun, like, or immersive. Like this is the way to play it. Like it's really, I think that whoever the artist was, like, big props to them. Cause I guess we know the artist, don't we?
Samir
Kassab. huge. I wouldn't consider myself like, I don't even know what I would call this like art style, but it works really, really well in this game. So
yeah,
you just got to see it. I think the design on the back of the cards is really cool too. I would love to own this game physically. We'll have to talk about why it's kind of a bummer why I can't, but.
Yeah,
I would be kind of shocked if it didn't come at some point. But what about you, Shay? What's your number one?
Well, my number one is very similar to yours, and I'm mad at you for ordering yourself first there. But yeah, the theme comes through very, 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 very strong in this game, and it's... like you said, you could play this game with a deck of cards for sure. There's a game that I played when I was a kid with a deck of cards called Trash Can that was essentially the same.
Very similar.
Basic mechanics. They didn't have anything like companions or anything like that. But you know, it would be very easy to, like you said, just kind of slap a theme on. But they took time and really designed a good theme for this game. I'm a sucker for a dystopian like sci-fi steampunk.
Yeah, it's been established on this it's been established on this podcast that's kind of your jam. I really am a jerk for stealing that as my number
stealing one. My thunder on that one.
But
that being said, no. Lex, why is this game, why might this game not be for you?
Yeah, you did stick me with this, didn't you? we forgot to put it in the show notes, so I have to come up with one on the spot. I don't know. It's tough to put my finger. I really feel like I need to try this game at a higher player count before I like say anything too negative about it, because I could see this going really either way at a higher player count, like this being either like super fun or super frustrating.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, what do you think, Shay? Do you think this would be fun at like 3 or 4?
I genuinely, I think it kind of scales the same. I think it would be just as fun at 3 or 4 as it is at 2.
Yeah.
Which is, I have to imagine, probably why they capped it at 4 players.
Sure.
I mean, that and, you know, card count in the deck, but, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I feel like it would be the same amount of fun at 3 and 4 players.
Yeah, I think that if you, like me, find just, like, card games in general, you know, kind of, if you prefer, like, a more complicated game, this might not have, like, enough in it to keep you interested. If you're really into, like, the more crunchy games, yeah, this might be too simple for you, but I don't know. I consider myself to be kind of that way, but this one really, really stood out in a major way for me. But
yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on what would you like to see in, like, an expansion, Shay? Like, something that might improve this game?
It's not the equipment is not necessarily very relevant.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I very, very, very rarely, unless a companion gives me the option to buy one for cheap.
Yeah,
I very, very rarely. I would like to see a way to get equipment more, like, viable in this game for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's a good point.
I guess the expansion idea I would have is, like, you know, maybe come up with like 2 or 3 more pieces of equipment that are maybe more relevant to the game.
Or maybe, like, you have equipment as well as, like, vehicles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which is basically, like, very much like equipment, but, like, lets you do other stuff. I don't know.
That'd be
cool.
Yeah, like, if you put, like, a car in there or something that lets you, like, raise or lower the value of one of your travel cards in your hand.
I think that would be dope.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Okay, big three questions. Is this game better in real life or on Board Game Arena? I really wish I could answer this one. like I mentioned, can't get my hands on this one IRL, so I'm going to have to default to BGA. I think simply for the logistical reasons. Yeah, it plays great on BGA. The developer did a great job. We didn't run into any bugs. And card games, I mean, BGA was kind of built for this kind of game. So,
yeah.
Works good. So, how much does this game cost? So, as we've kind of been alluding to, this game is currently unavailable to buy in the U.S. Apparently, it just released last summer as a French release only. And it looks like you can get it in Europe for around 20 to 30 euros. If you're willing to ship it from there, you could probably get it to the States, but you'd be paying for quite a bit for shipping. Hopefully it just comes, it gets a worldwide distributor and comes to the States at some point. Cause I think it's definitely worth it. I think there's a case to be made for it being, like, very accessible and language independent, and no reason why it shouldn't be more widely available. But how does it play async? I think it plays good. I don't really have any complaints, considering it's mostly quote unquote just a card game. Shay, what do you think about the async play on it?
Yeah, I think it's fine. There's not really a whole lot of things that you would need to wait on somebody else to do. Aside from taking their turn,
you pretty much just take your turn, goes on to the next person. That is conducive. Yeah, you don't have to wait for anyone to react or anything like that.
Right. So. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. All right, Shay. This is the moment I've been dreading. We have to do the tier ranking for this game.
All right.
All right. You ready? You have it in your head?
I got it.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, A minus.
B plus. Oh. Okay. All right.
I was very on the edge, very much, like, more than almost any other game. I didn't know whether to say B plus or A minus, because it's, I feel like it's right in the middle there. Okay. I'm glad we are more on page than I previously thought.
Plot twist. I'm going to spend 2024 saying that every game should be an S-tier game.
Everybody's been waiting for our first F. They're not gonna get it anytime soon. Not this year.
Yeah.
Only S-tier games from us.
Correct. Yeah. Cool. I'd be willing to go up for that game. So
yeah, A minus
sounds good to me.
We're good with A-. Sweet.
Yeah.
All right. I need to update that. It's been a minute. I'll get that updated and posted on our Discord. But yeah, so speaking of our Discord, if you want to play games with us, if you want to ask questions or just talk about the show, you can join our Discord. You can find it on our website at virtuallyanalog.info. Please come and give us a shout on there. If you don't have Discord, you don't know how to use Discord, you can also email us at virtuallyanalog@gmail.com. And if you want to, one of my New Year's resolutions is to stream more. So that means that I won't, but in case I actually do, you can catch us at virtuallyanalog.twitch. Wait. Is that right? Yeah, virtually analog.
Twitch.tv.
Twitch.tv. Yeah, sorry. I just had a stroke there, apparently. That's how long it's been since I've streamed on Twitch. Twitch.tv/virtuallyanalog. Shay, where can people find you?
You can find me on my other podcast where me and my co-host Dan talk about cheap video games that you should or should not buy. That is the Broke End Gaming Podcast. You can find us on Twitch where I stream slightly more regularly than Lex does at twitch.tv/BNG podcast.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for us. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.